From Kiev to Capitol Hill now, there are some in the ideological spectrum in the United States who will miss not having Congressman Henry Waxman to anoint as the evil genius of the left wing of the Democratic Party. After this term, there will be no Congressman Henry Waxman to kick around anymore, to use an old Richard Nixon phrase. And that's appropriate because Waxman came in with the Nixon backlash Watergate class of 1974. He has represented the 33rd District in the state of California for four decades and has decided that this term will be his last. There are some like Big Tobacco and the fossil fuel industry who will no doubt be glad to see the Waxmeister say goodbye. He fought and won big battles to sanction or regulate those industries during his time in Congress. When he sat down recently with Takeaway Washington correspondent Todd Zwillick, Congressman Waxman also wanted to remind his friends and enemies about how he was a pioneer in the battle to formulate an aggressive federal response to the AIDS crisis.
We heard about an epidemic that was affecting gay men in New York, L.A., and San Francisco. These men were dying of a very rare cancer called Kaposi's sarcoma. We didn't even know the word AIDS at that point. When we held our hearing in April 1982, over 30 years ago, there had been around 300 cases and 100 deaths. And what we also found was that the confirmed cases were doubling every month. And there were even hysterics at that time. Some people said the disease was casually transmitted by spores. Some people said that it was being intentionally spread. There were magazine covers that said everyone was at risk. And then there were anti-gay zealots who used the disease to promote their hatred. There were fanatics who said AIDS was God's revenge. People called for quarantines, for branding and tattooing the people who were sick. But worst of all, in my view, there was apathy and silence. President Reagan wouldn't even say the word AIDS. He wouldn't even acknowledge the word or the epidemic.
Did you push on the White House at the time to increase funding or to at least give public voice to the disease, call attention to it?
We held hearings, at least 30 hearings after that first one, to draw attention to the issue. We were very fortunate that in the administration, the Surgeon General was C. Everett Koop, a very courageous man who said, this is a disease, we've got to fight it as a disease. We were able to increase the amount of money for research spent by the National Institutes of Health, and eventually we passed the Ryan White Care Act, which provides medical care and other essential services to people living with AIDS. We've come a long way since those days, but could you imagine in the beginning, not only was it a death sentence, but gay people and gay men and drug abusers, who were the primary groups that were getting HIV and AIDS, had no protection for their privacy, no protection against being discriminated against, and they would lose their jobs, they'd lose their health care, they'd lose their privacy and everything else.
Times have also changed, and the culture has changed around tobacco over the last 20 years. Mm-hmm. And people will remember in their mind's eye the tobacco CEOs standing up with their right hands and swearing to tell the truth about manipulation of tobacco and getting the public addicted and tobacco records and movies that came out of that. That was your committee. You were the chairman in front of whom they stood and lied.
The human face for the tobacco industry came across when we had the CEOs of the tobacco companies raise their right hand to promise to tell the truth and then immediately proceeded to tell us that cigarette smoking was not really harmful, that it wasn't really addictive. All of those statements turned out to be untrue. But after their testimony, the wall that they had erected over decades of keeping what they were doing quiet broke, and people were coming forward to say that the tobacco industry was doing a lot of research on how to make sure the nicotine levels were enough to addict kids. The CEOs were men in suits and stood there, lied, and profited from the only product that was legal, where if you use it as intended, it killed people. When people saw that this was something that was helpful to these corporate liars, they realized that they were being taken for suckers.
On another note, you have a long career as a liberal, as a progressive, a long voting record on things like minimum wage and unemployment insurance and single-payer health care. But you're leaving Congress at a time of not unprecedented, but certainly in the last two generations, unprecedented income inequality, where the middle class, at least in terms of their wages, is doing worse than they have since the 20s. I wonder if it pains you or feels like some work left undone to be leaving at a time when things aren't better for middle class and lower income folks. They're actually quite a bit worse.
I think we have to recognize that we're not keeping the American promise that if you work hard, play by the rules, you could succeed. Because a lot of people are being told that no matter how hard they work, they're not going to go very far. I feel very badly about that. I think, however, we have to keep in mind that the strength of this country is to have a middle class that's strong and growing, because otherwise we will have a permanent situation as we have now with a small group at the top and the middle class being pushed either up or down and mostly down.
What about regrets? Any time you end an era in your life and there's reflection, everybody has them. And I wonder what your biggest one or two are. Now that you're leaving, what do you regret?
As the song goes, regrets, I've had a few, too few to mention, so I'm not going to mention them.
Anything left unaccomplished that you would love two more years to try to do?
Well, the unfinished business, as I see it, is dealing with the climate change issue. This is a huge threat to our planet, certainly to our nation. We're already seeing the impact of climate change and storms and hurricanes and droughts. And scientists are overwhelmingly telling us, unless we do something about this, in 15 years, the amount of greenhouse gases that will accumulate in the atmosphere will mean that we won't be able to reverse it. And the amazing thing to me is that the people in charge of the House of Representatives deny the science. Luckily, President Obama is taking a lot of this on with his own administration under current law. He needs the support of the American people.
Congressman, thank you so much. Congressman Henry Waxman.
You're welcome.
Outgoing Congressman Henry Waxman speaking to The Takeaway's Washington correspondent Todd Zwillick in Washington, D.C.
The Takeaway is supported by Reputation.com. With tools to help businesses and professionals monitor and manage online reviews, now offering a review kiosk to help customers create reviews. Learn more at Reputation.com.